Our next presenter is Diane Harris, who is a visiting scientist in the Division of Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There she serves on the Guidelines Development and Recommendations team, working on promoting policy, systems, and environmental change strategies to increase fruit and vegetable consumption. She is the CDC lead for Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools, a comprehensive public health effort to mobilize and engage stakeholders at the local, state, and national level to support salad bars in schools. She is also an associate researcher at the David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, where she oversees a research program studying the activity of plant-derived anti-cancer compounds in pancreatic cancer. Dr. Harris serves on the board of directors of Georgia Organics, a member-supported nonprofit organization working to integrate healthy, sustainable, and locally grown food into the lives of all Georgians. She is also a member of the Georgia Farm to School Alliance, which acts at the state level through government and other agencies to facilitate farm to school programs in Georgia.
Okay, so first, there's no financial disclosures. And these are preliminary results, so these are in no way official, an official report of the CDC. So I'd like to give you an outline of what the presentation will be about today. So first I'll provide an overview of the status of school salad bars as a public health intervention to increase fruit and vegetable intake in children. I'll then present the results of an analysis of data from the National Youth Physical Activity and Nutrition Study, or NIPANS, and then I will briefly discuss the CDC's involvement in Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools. The CDC is promoting school salad bars as a strategy to provide a greater amount and variety of fruits and vegetables to school children in the lunchroom. Anecdotal and empirical evidence suggests that the ability of children and adolescents to make choices at a salad bar helps stimulate fruit and vegetable intake. I'm going to start by reviewing what we do know about salad bars, starting with their prevalence. So we have two data sources that we use in order to estimate the prevalence of school salad bars. The first is the School Nutrition Dietary Assessment Study by the USDA. The last round was in 2004-2005, and the current study, the data has been collected and is in analysis now. From this set of data, we know that salad bars are available at least once a week in 37% of high schools, 23% of middle schools, and 19% of elementary schools. And this survey was done in close to 400 schools. The other data source is Bridging the Gap, which was funded by RWJF. In this study, they found that salad bars are available most or every day in the National School Lunch Program in 43% of high schools, 41% of middle schools, and 21% of elementary schools. And this survey was conducted in over 1,500 schools total. So from these data, we surmise that the prevalence of salad bars in high schools is somewhere around 40%. It's probably half that in elementary schools, and maybe it's a little unclear in middle schools, somewhere between 20 and 40%. So we have several studies that provide evidence that salad bars are an effective strategy to improve the diet of school children. One of the most important studies was conducted by Wendy Slusser in elementary schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District. In this study, she conducted interviews pre- and post-intervention introduction of salad bars in 1998 and year 2000 using a 24-hour food recall questionnaire. The study was conducted in three elementary schools, all schools with a percent free and reduced eligibility of over 65%, and there were over 300 second through fifth graders in the study. She found that there was an increase in frequency of fruits and vegetables consumed during the day, and the change was almost all due to an increase at lunch. Their frequency of intake went from almost 3 to over 4 times per day. And she found through the diet analysis that intake of energy, cholesterol, saturated fat, total fat was significantly lower in children after introduction of the salad bar compared to before. A more recent evaluation was conducted by the University of North Carolina through their Center for Excellence for Training and Research Translation in collaboration with the CDC. The Riverside Unified School District, also in California, operates salad bars in 29 schools, serving over 24,000 students daily. 53% of their population is Latino, and 60% of the students qualified for free and reduced cost lunch. So this evaluation was conducted in the 2008-2009 school year in four schools with salad bars, and they found that students who choose the salad bar eat more servings of fruits and vegetables than students who choose the hot bar, and they increase their consumption by half a serving at lunchtime. Now, these studies were all conducted in elementary schools and with relatively small numbers of students. We are aware of no other nationally representative survey which has investigated the association between salad bar use and fruit and vegetable intake in students. So the study I'm going to present here analyzed the NIPANS data set, and more details about this data set is on the CDC website, but it was conducted by the CDC in 2010. Among the overall purposes of NIPANS are to provide a nationally representative data on behaviors and behavioral determinants related to physical activity and nutrition, to understand associations among behaviors and behavioral determinants related to physical activity and nutrition and their association with body mass index. So our analysis here is only focusing on one small component of this overall study, and that's around salad bar use. The NIPANS study was conducted as a three-stage cluster sample design, with the three stages being primary sampling unit, which essentially counties or clusters of counties, schools within these PSUs, and classrooms within schools. The sampling strategy provided a national representative sample of public and private school students in grades 9 through 12. African American and Hispanic students are oversampled in this data set. And the response rates among schools is 82%, among students 89%, and overall around 73%. After data editing, there are more than 11,000 responses in the data set. The NIPANS survey consisted of a 120-item questionnaire to measure behaviors and behavioral determinants related to diet and physical activity. A standardized protocol was used to measure height and weight in students by an independent observer. The questionnaire was administered in classrooms during a regular class period and after parent permission was granted. Students filled out the questionnaires themselves into a computer scannable booklet, and the responses were kept anonymous. Data were weighted to provide national estimates, and Sudan was used for the analysis to take into account the complex sample design for calculating the prevalence estimates and odds ratios. So our analysis focuses on responses to question 96 of this survey, which asked students where they usually get lunch at school. Although they had multiple choices of responses, I'm only going to present the analysis of the comparison between students choosing the salad bar compared to those choosing a complete school lunch, or you can think of that as the hot lunch or the complete reimbursable meal. Fruit and vegetable intake was determined using six questions asking the frequency of intake over the previous 7 days of each of these fruits and vegetable items. So whole fruit, 100% fruit juice, green salad, potatoes, carrots, and other vegetables. The possible responses are range from I did not eat this item during the last 7 days up to four or more times per day. And these questions are essentially the same as those on the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System, or YRBS. Measured height and weight were converted into metric for calculation of BMI using the standard BMI calculations. Obese status was determined by plotting the BMI number on the CDC BMI for age growth charts for either girls or boys to obtain a percent ranking and a classification. The dichotomous variable of obese versus not obese is used in the logistic regression equation. So now for the results. This is the demographic breakdown by whether students usually ate from a salad bar versus usually ate a complete school lunch. So first note that nearly half of the students, you can use my pointer, ate from the complete school lunch, while only about 5% ate from a salad bar. Usually ate from a salad bar. So you can see that when you look at the relative breakdown by sex, that eaters of salad bars tend to be female, and there's a higher proportion that were white and perhaps black, maybe less so Hispanic. But the chi-square is significant for the effect of sex and race ethnicity. Now, all ages ate from salad bar. There's no difference in the proportion among the different grade levels. And we found that among the salad bar eaters, they tended to maybe be towards the obese side. We also wanted to look at the relative contributions of specific fruit and vegetable intake to total fruits and vegetable intake, comparing students who usually ate from the salad bar to students who usually get complete school lunch. First, we looked at what proportion of total fruit intake came from whole fruit versus fruit juice. We found that in both groups, about 60% of total fruit intake was from whole fruit, and 40% was from fruit juice. And there was no difference in the relative contribution between each group of students. Next, we looked at what proportion of total vegetable intake came from individual vegetable items. We found that the relative salad intake was higher among students who usually ate from the salad bar, which hopefully isn't surprising. But those students also tended to eat relatively less potatoes. There was no difference in the proportion that ate carrots, but there was a slightly higher proportion that ate the other vegetable category. The proportion of students who ate at least fruit at least two times a day, vegetables three times a day, and the combination of at least two fruit and three vegetables a day were much higher among students who usually ate from the salad bar compared to those who usually ate from the school complete school lunch. So comparing this column versus this column. The adjusted odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals for fruit, vegetable, or intake of both were calculated for those who responded that usually ate from the salad bars versus the complete school lunch. The logistic regression equation was adjusted for race, ethnicity, grade, sex, and obese status. As you can see, students who usually ate from the salad bar were significantly more likely to eat fruit at least twice daily, vegetables at least three times daily, and fruits at least two times and vegetables at least three times daily. These results held whether talking about the whole sample, males only, or females only. So the odds of a high school student eating fruit more than two times a day and vegetables more than three times a day were 2 to 3 times greater among students who usually ate at the salad bar compared to students who usually ate the complete school lunch. Now there's a few limitations of the study to note. Only kids that attend school are included in the sample. However, the proportion of adolescents that don't attend a formal school is fairly small. The proportion of respondents that report usually eating their school lunch from a salad bar is low in the sample, and we don't have the actual prevalence of schools salad bars in the sample, but given that it may be 40% or less in high schools and that not every kid usually eats from a salad bar, that's why these numbers are probably fairly low. The fruit and vegetable intake is self-reported, so it's subject to the same issues of response and recall bias that is common for these kinds of studies. However, the strength of these results provide additional evidence for the importance of school salad bars as a strategy to increase fruit and vegetable intake in school children. The CDC is a partner in an initiative called Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools, a comprehensive public health effort to mobilize and engage stakeholders at the local, state, and national level to support salad bars in schools. The vision of Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools is to significantly increase the prevalence of salad bars in schools across the country until every child has the choice of healthy fruits and vegetables every day at school. So the URL for our website is here, where school districts can apply for salad bars and donors can give up here to support salad bars. And our program is in support of the First Lady's Let's Move initiative, and she participated in our launch nearly a year ago now. So Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools is an initiative of the Food Family Farming Foundation, Whole Foods Markets, United Fresh Produce Association, and the National Fruit and Vegetable Alliance, of which CDC, USDA, and a number of other national public health organizations and representatives from the produce industry are members. Again, the goal of the Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools is to fund and award 6,000 salad bars over the next 3 years. And our progress so far is that we have awarded about 1,000 over the first year. So in conclusion, our analysis of NIPANS indicates that high school students who use a school salad bar are more likely to eat more fruits more than twice a day, vegetables more than three times a day, and both fruits and vegetables five times a day. Evidence supports public health efforts, including Let's Move Salad Bars to Schools, is an effective strategy to increase the prevalence of school salad bars. Thank you for your interest.